Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Munchcast with Cammie Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 59 for February 15th, 2009. Grilled cheese. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much.
Some bologna, but then again I thought instead I'd get out my George Foreman and add cheese to that bread. I fried it up, what dumb luck, there was Jesus' head. I got me a grilled cheese Jesus, keep it in a box.
It's time for Munchcast.
It's hidden in my top drawer, just underneath
and subject
my
of the day.
Box. And when my times get troubled,
grilled cheese Jesus?
Grilled cheese Jesus! Cammie Blackstone!
Grilled cheese.
No, I don't think grilled cheese Jesus. I think grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
Love
we actually,
those.
You know, as much as that song is cool and talks about grilled cheese Jesus, the real grilled cheese holy figure was the Virgin Mary.
Let's not be sacrilegious. It was the Virgin, and who bought it? A casino bought it, right?
Yeah, Golden Palace. But it was way back in 2004.
But they spent like $1 million or something.
Well, you know, actually, they got it for quite a bargain. They bought it for $28,000.
Oh, is that all?
It went on this super long world tour. And I went to go see it at the Ripley's, believe it or not, San Francisco. Yeah, because in the paper, there's like a, you know, funny article about it and said it's going to be here for 4 days and they're leaving on Sunday. And it went like in an armored car and everything.
Oh, how silly.
I know. So I took my kids because they were in Catholic school, like, well, let's go see the Virgin Mary on the grilled cheese sandwich. And when we got there at like 3:45. They said, oh, yeah, it left at 3:30.
You know, I'm looking at it on the net, and it looks like somebody took a bite out of it.
Well, you know, can you blame them? Because really, there's nothing more delectable than a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Diane Duzer from Florida made the sandwich 10 years ago, and miracle of miracles, it's still not moldy. Right there, you know, there's something holy going on.
Well, you know, when you think of, I believe she did use Velveeta, and I don't know that Velveeta actually molds because it's like plastic, right?
It's like rubber. Yeah.
There
goes the big Kraft sponsorship we were talking about.
Dang it. I always do that.
It's not cheese. It's processed cheese food.
That's right.
But
that's
now right. Let's talk about grilled cheese sandwiches. What is the best cheese to use to make a grilled cheese sandwich?
You know, you can argue about this till the cows come home because, you know, there's so many different kinds. And it also depends on what bread you're going to use. Last night, I made a delicious grilled cheese sandwich using Swiss cheese, but I used a great sourdough bread. And then that was perfect. Now, other times I prefer a cheddar.
Yeah.
But
I
you know,
it has to be a yellow cheese, doesn't it?
No, it does not. Oh, have you not had a grilled pepper jack?
Oh, pepper jack. Okay. Okay.
Please.
Jack grills very well.
Certainly does. And a pepper jack. Woo! That little kick.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I'm with you on that.
And
now,
you know,
what about adulteration with bologna or tomatoes or other foreign substances?
Oh, my God. Let me just tell you, while doing research for this show, I went to, is it Chowhound? Chow.com had this incredible, let's see, I was on a wrong website here. Amazing list of variations. Grilled cheese sandwich cravings, apple and aged cheddar grilled cheese.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Doesn't that? So we're kind of going upscale here.
But see, I'm kind of the purist. I think the idea of American cheese on white bread, grilled with butter on both sides to give it a nice brown crust, and then served with Campbell's tomato soup is pretty much the canonical grilled cheese experience.
Isn't that funny how it paired with tomato soup? I mean, everywhere you go, that's everybody's favorite combo. Was that just something that was... Who developed that combination?
You know, you got to think that it maybe was Kraft and big advertising budgets that did it. But for some reason, and it's certainly people in my generation. But now with the fact that you and your generation also has this, it tells me...
I am your generation.
I guess is the older the older you get, the closer you are, aren't you? The when we were young, you seemed like you were much younger than me. But now... We're pretty much getting the same age.
But it's true, though, that the tomato soup, I don't know if it's the combination of flavors or the colors or something.
It's the flavors. It's the tang of the soup mixed with the creaminess of a grilled cheese. And it was also the lunch that mom served when you were home for lunch, which wasn't, you know, was not typical. You were either home sick or it was a special occasion. So maybe
or
that's
rainy day.
Rainy day.
Snow day.
Snow day. Snow day. Yeah. So I, you know, it's funny that you should have that association too, but it really is, boy, is that good.
It is fantastic.
I still to this day crave it.
Let me just tell you, here's a couple of kind of the nouveau cuisine versions you might want to try at home.
Okay.
Asian pear and Gouda grilled cheese.
Okay, because a smoky Gouda would go very nicely with the tart firmness of the Asian pear.
That doesn't that sound good? Now, normally, you know, I go with the white trash, but some of these upscale ones are kind of tickling my fancy.
They're tempting. I will grant you that.
Now, this one, grape and I can't even pronounce this cheese. Taleggio? T-A-L-E-G-G-I-O? Taleggio?
Yeah. Is it Spanish or Italian? I can't remember.
I think it's Italian. Let's see. The grapes get a soaking in grappa to boost the fruit's floral qualities. Taleggio's meltiness contrasts fabulously against the crunch of the whole wheat bread.
Oh, mama. Taleggio. Okay. I think that's a... Taleggio is
gotta Italian.
Be Italian. Taleggio. That's how you pronounce that. No?
Okay, well...
I'm sorry.
Are we getting corrected?
According to Wikipedia, it's Taleggio.
Is it Spanish?
It's a cheese. It was made going back to the 10th century in the caves of Val Taleggio. In fact, Giacomo Casanova decided in 1763 in Sant'Angelo Loggiano to write articles about cheeses into the encyclopedia. And I don't know what the connection is to Taleggio, but it's apparently it's in the Wikipedia together in one sentence. So it must be something.
Well, in this grape and Taleggio grilled cheese sandwich, actually, they do use grappa in the recipe.
It's made from pasteurized milk, raw milk, and fat. Sometimes spices, raisins, nuts, and some lemons are also added.
You know what? I'm going to go to my local cheesatorium and see if I can pick some up.
If you want to know more, go to... Want to know more about Taleggio? Go to taleggio.it.
Be right there.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one? Roasted beet and chèvre.
No, I can do without that.
You don't like beets? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know why I like beets?
I love
they make
beets.
Everything pink.
I love beets. I don't like chèvre that much.
Okay. All right. Okay, how about this one? I love this juice. Sun-dried tomato, parsley, and manchego.
Oh, yeah.
I love manchego cheese. I love it. I don't believe I've ever had it on a grilled cheese. But I'll have to give it a try. Sweet hot mustard and Jarlsberg grilled cheese.
That sounds good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you could just go on and on and on. Now, of course, when I did my little Twitter research where I basically ask everyone else to do the show for me, everyone who Twittered me back said, you got to put bacon. You got to add the bacon to the grilled cheese.
You know, bacon's their answer to everything.
Of course. Of course.
Of course it is.
But, you know, I mean, I think bacon is a good addition to cheese. I mean, certainly when you have a bacon cheeseburger, you're getting that, you know.
Yeah, a little smoky, but it is a little cholesterol laden.
Well, if you have red
wine. I guess
there's
no such thing as a healthful grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. You know what? I did learn as I was making my grilled cheese last night. I went onto a couple of different websites and everyone says, and this is something I never did till I tried it last night, that you butter the bread, not the pan. I had always
No, you got to butter. You butter the pan, huh?
I always, I just like put a hunk of butter.
No, then you're frying it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, the real trick, according to one expert that I think it was a YouTube video, like on how to make a good Brooklyn grilled cheese. He said you buttered the bread and then you put cheese on each slice and then you put it in the toaster oven to let the cheese melt. Then you slap them together.
I think
and
that's
then
overkill.
You put it.
That's overkill.
You think?
Yeah. I think there's sufficient heat in the grilling process to melt any cheese. Any cheese at all.
I'm looking at some more Twitter replies, and Russ Johnson says he likes to double grill my grilled cheese. Grill bread, flip, add cheese, finish grilling the other side.
Oh,
so he has like
he
both sides.
Bread. Yeah, both sides of the bread. Now, that I understand. But see, that's what I always disliked, frankly, about the toasted cheese as opposed to the grilled cheese. See, toasted is in the toaster oven.
Yeah.
But then one side of the bread just is kind of limp and flaccid.
Yeah.
And I want a crunchier. Yeah, I think you really, the only way to really get that nice crunch appeal is to butter the bread, both sides of the bread, put the cheese in between, put it on the grill. If you want to use a press, okay. Not necessarily.
Yeah, like a panini, like a sandwich press or a George Foreman grill.
My mom would make grilled cheese. She had a waffle iron that you take the waffle plates out of and you'd put a flat plate in and that would make a grilled cheese. And our grilled cheeses were always kind of flat because the top...
Smashed.
Because the top of the waffle iron would press. But there was something wonderful about that.
It would give you
a nice crisp crust.
It would be kind of like a crepe almost. Was it that flat?
Depends on the bread. If you use Wonder Bread, flat, like a pancake. But
I'm not so into the Wonder Bread. I'm sorry. I really, really am a sourdough grilled cheese girl. And I think because it crisps up so well and of course the sourdough thing. And that's the whole magic of a grilled cheese is the crunch of the outside and then the buttery goodness and then the creamy, you know.
I think many food items, you're looking for a crunchy outside and a chewy or creamy inside. That seems to be a requisite.
Yeah. Yeah, you rarely have things that are chewy on the outside and hard and crunchy on the inside.
Less desirable.
Well, unless you think of like maybe a malted milk ball. But I don't know.
You know what is? I'll tell you what is. Meringues are crunchy on the outside and chewy on the inside. No, wait a minute. That's the same thing. You want chewy on the outside, crunchy on the inside.
Yeah, I just don't think it works the other way.
It doesn't. I guess if you put bacon in your grilled cheese sandwich, you might get crunchy, chewy, crunchy.
Well, there you go. There you go.
It'd be kind of like a triple threat.
So I did a little wiki search, and I did not realize that the grilled cheese sandwich was first developed in the 1920s.
You mean it's that recent?
Yeah, because that was when sliced, mass-produced bread and processed cheese food was made more readily available.
I find it difficult to believe that people before 1920 didn't come up with the notion that you could put slices of cheese between slices of bread and heat it.
Yeah, because really it is the most basic thing. It's bread plus cheese plus fire. Well, now, and butter. And some butter in there.
Butter. I mean, there was something, and I know in my novels, my 18th century novels, when I read them, they often talk of toasted cheese. But that's more like that thing that you, I don't know. That's more like that thing that you have with the toaster oven, I think. Open face.
Right. Those 18th century toaster ovens that they had.
Well, that's the problem is I don't really know. They don't describe the manufacturer of the item. They merely call it a toasted cheese. But for instance, in the fine seafaring novels of Patrick O'Brien, you may have seen the movie Master and Commander. That was just the first of 21 separate novels about these two guys going to sea. They frequently would call for toasted cheese. And of course, now it's on a ship.
Toasted cheese.
They would. They would Killick, their ship's mate, the captain's valet. I think you call him a valet. Would bring them toasted cheese and coffee. And I think that I would guess, because it was on a boat, that there was involved probably a fork stuck into some bread with cheese. I don't know how they would have made it. You're right, they don't have sliced bread.
In fact, but they would have no tomato soup.
They definitely didn't have the tomato soup.
Yeah, maybe some rum.
Here's Queen Victoria's toasted cheese from the chestofbooks.com recipes. They have actually recipes. So here it is. This is from A Bachelor's Cupboard, a book by John W. Luce. Would not a recipe from Victoria the Good be acceptable to the loyal John Bull? Then let it be toasted cheese from the Royal Lodge at Windsor, which is done in this fashion. Grate 1/2 pound of cheese very fine, add 3 tablespoons full of ale, and a small glass of champagne. Mix well in a silver dish over the hot water pan.
So wait a minute, wait. So you take the grated cheese and then you add the booze and that's how the cheese is toasted?
Wait a minute. I'm not done. You mix you mix well in a silver dish over the hot water pan for 10 minutes and serve on toast. So really that's like a Welsh rabbit is what that is.
Right. That's kind of like a fondue. Inside out fondue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So So now I know toasted cheese is not what we have come to know as the grilled cheese sandwich.
No, but I will tell you, Leo, and all the other grilled cheese sandwich aficionados.
Yes.
The second annual Northern California Regional Grilled Cheese Invitational is coming up. At it's actually next week. It's February 21st.
Oh, my goodness. I better get grilling.
Well, unfortunately, I tried to enter, and they already have the full, their roster is full as far as, signups. However, it's noon to... I know. I guess this is their second one, and they've done them all over the country, but...
it's such a big deal that they don't announce the location until just a few days before.
Yeah.
They don't want to be swamped.
It's like a celebrity wedding. Like, they don't want the paparazzi staking it out and that kind of thing. But I do, I really like their logo, the Grilled Cheese Invitational, and then it has like their creed in a circle over the fiery grilled cheese sandwich. Bread, butter, cheese... Victory.
See, if the Spartans had had grilled cheese, they might not have been so warlike.
I can't help but think how many different problems could have been solved with grilled cheese. For instance,
so now, wait, but before we leave the grilled cheese invitational.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not leaving it.
How does that work? Do you go there and grill a sandwich and then there is judging?
Yeah, there are judges. If you go to their rules, if you go to grilledcheeseinvitational.com, it has a lot of information. But I'm
looking
at their
rules. Number one.
No flamethrowers.
Hmm. I didn't realize. I never really. Now they've made me think maybe I should have a flamethrower. I wouldn't have really thought of that without that rule.
I know. And is that just like one of those, how you do the top of creme brulee? What are those things called? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's a kind of it's a torch.
Yeah, it's a torch. That's what it is. Kitchen torch.
It says if you bring something that even vaguely resembles a flamethrower, you will be asked to leave.
Well, safety first.
So definitions. Bread, any unleavened or leavened flour-based baked thing that looks like bread, you idiot. Butter.
You have to be so bossy.
For the purposes of simplicity, all sandwich grilling lubricants will hereinafter be referred to as butter. You may use oils or margarines if you prefer. Flavored butters and oil, mayonnaise infused with garlic, etc., not permitted in the missionary position category. Oh, I see. So there's kind of a fundamental grilled cheese sandwich, and then you can get silly.
Yeah, you can branch out from there.
But they don't make any requirement on cheese.
Hmm.
No. Wow. Hmm. This is interesting. And then there are categories. There are 4 categories. The missionary position is standard white bread, no sourdough, Cammy. And orange cheese. You see, this is what I was saying, cheddar or American, and standard butter or margarine. Very simple.
Okay, when everyone has the exact same ingredients, like how far afield can you go? How do they even figure out first, second, and third?
I know what you're saying. I mean, it can't be very much different, except if you have a real skill in the overall browning or crisping of the, even browning is important.
Yeah, I guess so. But then it also, it's like, which sandwich are you tasting first? Because, if it's fresh off the grill, it'll have a different flavor, different taste, different consistency than if you've waited a minute and a half.
But you don't want people coming in with olive breads and talajego and all that stuff and really throwing you off. That's for the spoons. That's the second of the 4 categories.
Oh,
any kind of bread, any kind of cheese, any kind of butter.
Mm.
Then there's the Kama Sutra. Any kind of bread, any kind of butter, any kind of cheese, plus additional ingredients. But the interior ingredient must be at least 60% cheese.
Okay, so then you could add the sliced pears.
There
or
you go.
Grappa.
There you
or
go.
Any of those things.
Finally, the honey pot.
Mm.
Any kind of bread, any kind of butter, any kind of cheese, with an overall flavor that is sweet and would be best served as a dessert.
Oh. I guess that was when you would bring out sort of the, what are those sweet cheeses called? You know, the dang it, I'm like having complete brain.
What's a sweet cheese?
Oh.
A sweet cheese. What kind of cheese would that be? A sweet.
Like they have in.
Like challah?
Cannolis. Like cannoli, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The sweet Italian cheese. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That kind of cheese. That's cheese. There you go. And then you can add like maybe some fruit there or some chocolate.
Maybe a little apricot caper puree on a raisin bread with mascarpone.
There you go. That's, Leo, have you entered before?
No, it's straight out of the chat room, actually.
Oh, okay.
They're very good, though. They've got wild imagination.
I'm looking at some of the previous cheese invitationals, and what I like about them is that in 2007, they held the fourth second annual grilled cheese invitational. And then in 2006, it was the third second annual. So I don't understand how they're counting. But I like the confusion. Keeps you on your toes.
There also is an exhibition stage for those who wish to not necessarily compete, but show off their cheese grilling. I want to go to this event.
You know,
are you
going
to go? Are you going to bring the kids?
I want to go. My problem is I just don't know where it is.
Yeah, well, they haven't announced it. You have to be prepared to cook at least 5 regular sized sandwiches for judging purposes. You can then cut these 5 into quarters, allowing each sandwich 20 possible votes from the salivating audience. Obviously, consistency will be a key element to a sandwich's performance. And by the way, there will be 50, at least 50 Olympic-rated cooking stoves for the event, and you will receive a competition kit that will include a fry pan, a spatula, grilling hats, apron and board, hand sanitizer, health info sheet, sandwich plates with votes, and paper towels.
Wow.
However, you are allowed to provide your own frying pan.
Now, see, here's where we often differ. Do you go with a cast iron pan or do you go with a nonstick?
They do not allow George Foreman grill, deep fryers, or toaster ovens, by the way.
Deep fryer. Wow.
That's disgusting. I would say, boy, that's a, you know, I mean, I think the purist would use a well-seasoned cast iron pan, but it must be perfectly seasoned so as not to stick.
Right. And not have any leftovers, you know, because sometimes those, when it's well seasoned, there's still like a hint of garlic or a hint of something.
Yes, that would be bad. Yeah.
By the way, if you are unable to attend the February 21st NorCal Regional Grilled Cheese Invitational, March 14th, the Austin Regional Grilled Cheese Invitational is coming up. And then on April 25th, the first 7th annual Grilled Cheese Invitational is in Los Angeles.
The first 7th annual?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very confusing.
It's very confusing. I think they've eaten far too many grilled cheese sandwiches. They're drunk on grilled cheese.
Yeah. Woo. But you know what? Is there anything better? What sort of wine would you pair with a grilled cheese sandwich?
Well, let me think now. Wine. Grilled cheese. Well, it would depend a lot on the cheese. Yeah. But let's say we're talking the missionary. Basic grilled cheese sandwich. I think it's, you've got to go red, don't you?
With an American cheese, I think I'd go white, I think.
Would you?
I think I might
something
go.
Something crisp and fresh, perhaps a Cabernet Sauvignon. A Sauvignon Blanc, I mean.
Sauvignon Blanc,
Blanc.
Like a Sauvie.
Yeah, SV. Yeah, Sauvie, is that what you call it? Sauvie. Yeah. I'd like a Sauvie, glass of Sauvie.
Or champagne.
Champagne?
That'd be good.
A little really sparkly, good. A little bubbly.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm thinking of something a little sweeter, maybe a Rhine, a Gewürztraminer, something a little with a little sweetness might be nice.
You know, I think it would be really good to have a Gewürztraminer with your Velveeta cheese thing. I like the whole juxtaposition there. Hey, you know, one of my Twitter pals sent me a link to Cheds, which is a new restaurant chain based out of Colorado. If you go to Cheds, CHEDDS.com. It's a gourmet grilled cheese restaurant.
Oh, finally.
Franchise opportunities abound.
Finally.
And yeah, their menu is fantastic.
It's all grilled cheese?
All grilled cheese. It's fantastic. I got to tell you, you are going to die when you start reading this because, again, it's Attack of the Hunger Pangs on Munchcast. They have so many great ideas of grilled cheese. Everything is grilled cheese.
Wisconsin grilled cheese melts. The heartburn. Oh, listen to this. Horseradish cheddar, roast beef, onions, sauerkraut, spicy mustard on a white rustic roll. So that's really got meat in it. So it's more than just more than just cheese. I don't know if that, does that, should that really be allowed?
Well, you know, they're trying to branch out. If they only, you know, had your basic missionary style grilled cheese.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was really, really basic. Just, it really is. But this is a sandwich shop in which it is grilled and there is cheese.
But they do go crazy with just, they do have, Leo, they do have the Big Dipper, which is Colby tomato on sourdough with a cup of tomato soup.
Aha! Mm-hmm. They, too, recognize the ineffable bond between grilled cheese and soups made of tomatoes.
And then they really do a blend here on the old world, which is Gruyere, Fontina, Havarti, on Pumpernickel. So it's all three. And then the new world is Colby, Baby Swiss, and Monterey Jack on sourdough.
You know what I like? You can go in there and you can pick your cheese, then pick your bread, and then add any extras you want. So you can really, you can craft a sandwich to suit. And you maybe, perhaps you'd want avocado, maybe perhaps not. These are in Colorado, Littleton and Denver, but soon I hope to come to somewhere near me.
Oh, there are franchise opportunities. Leo, you could have the lock on Petaluma grilled cheese.
Oh, that would be so cool. Like, I'm the only place in Petaluma that you can get a grilled cheese sandwich. Man, I would own this town, especially on a rainy day like today. It'd be lines around the block.
I know. It would be. You know, I had my grilled cheese sandwich last night, but I ran out of bread. So today I tried to, like, just do it with a tortilla. You know, as much as I love quesadillas, crusty bread. It's just, you know, it's
now,
not
do you
the
use
same.
When you say sourdough, you're saying a sliced sourdough.
Yeah. Sliced sourdough.
So it is, like, still its traditional sandwich loaf.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, this is intriguing. I'm thinking maybe what we should do for our lounge, we're building a kind of a, We're taking over one of the rooms of the cottage for a guest lounge.
Oh, a green room?
A green room, if you will. And in fact, it is green, as is your room, I see, by the way.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah. We're going to have a futon in there, so you can either sit upright or lie back, your choice. And I think if we had, perhaps, what would you recommend? What would be the ideal cheese grilling apparatus? Would it be a George Foreman?
Yeah, the Foreman does a good job, I've got to say. Or I see if your mom still has the waffle iron.
Boy, because, that would be so cool.
You know, that would have like some sort of historic significance and you know, meaningful as sort of the
I would
life
like
of
to
Leo.
Be able to offer. Maybe that could be the standard dish of the Twit Cottage. As you come here, you'll have grilled cheese and in a mug, not in a bowl, but in a mug, a little Campbell's tomato soup.
Why don't you just always have it bubbling away in a crock pot?
I love that idea.
You know
with
what
a little ladle, and you can just ladle it into your cup. I'm drinking tomato soup instead of tea all day. That's a great idea.
It's, you know, tomato soup is very good, particularly for men. The lycopene and cooked tomatoes is very important.
Is lycopene what makes you a werewolf?
I don't know. But I remember that one time during like some cancer awareness thing, I read that I had to do some public service announcement about how important it is for men to have cooked tomatoes.
Men should have cooked tomatoes?
Yeah. There's like something that happens with
just
tomatoes.
Us?
Yeah. Well, women too, I guess. But like for men, I don't know why. But
can
they
you
did
get
some
a,
studies.
Do you have to put heavy cream in it, though? I mean, can I make it a, you know, a healthful tomato soup?
Oh, sure you can. I also think that, Leo, since you're kind of, you know, a superstar, you should have that in your rider. That no matter where you go, like in, like the way Van Halen said they always wanted green M&Ms or whatever, you could say, I got to have the soup.
Campbell's tomato soup and a grilled
and
cheese
grilled
sandwich.
Cheese. Must be waiting in my dressing room upon arrival.
I think our celebrity listener, we have one, John Hodgman. John, you have the clout to enforce this. And I think you also have the panache to make this your thing. Everywhere you go, a little grilled cheese sandwich and Campbell's tomato soup.
You know, it's so good because it's not too heavy. So what the great thing about it is you could go right on a show immediately after eating it and not feel weighed down.
No, you'd feel fantastic.
Yeah.
You'd feel nurtured and supported, and it'd be almost like mom was there.
Mm-hmm. I know. I wanted to tell you also, when we were earlier talking about the Virgin Mary on the grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
That there's a couple of things you can get. Actually, if you go to blacktable.com, they had at Black Table how you could make your very own personal Jesus toast, and they have the directions.
Do they sell special George Foreman grill plates to do? I mean, you know, is there like some, you like
no,
add a special, like a waffle iron, only a special plate?
No, it's more the way that you put the butter on and it burns into the bread.
Oh.
You know, an image
so
of Jesus.
So you draw Jesus first with butter.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when you fry it up, there you go.
And then it'll be burned in there.
If you also go to worldwidefred.com.
Of course.
They have, you can get this actually, Archie McPhee too. They have Holy Toast, which is a stamp. It's in the shape of a standard piece of Wonder Bread. It's a stamp of the Virgin Mary. And then you stamp it in there. And then when you toast your bread, it comes out and there she is.
So you really, you don't need anything really special. Mm-mm. Oh, that's really quite clever.
Yeah, the Holy Toast.
And it's very effective. So you don't even need a special toaster. And I imagine this would work very well, not just with a toaster, but with the grilled cheese.
Yeah, any sort, or say French toast.
All right. So I'm going to add this to the Twit Cottage. So we will not only have grilled cheese and tomato soup for all comers, but they will be, you could have your choice of holy personages. We could have like a Gandhi and a Buddha and a Mary and a Shiva.
Maybe an Elvis.
Elvis might be very popular.
Mm-hmm. I think Elvis is probably a big fan of the grilled cheese. I'm sure
he was a bacon aficionado.
I think he must have been. I think he liked to have fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches, but you know, who doesn't like cheese?
So, I mean, if you're frying the peanut butter and banana, that's practically grilled cheese.
He probably ate grilled cheese, except for on the days he felt lactose intolerant, he would move over to the peanut butter and banana fried sandwich.
Right. Should we address lactose intolerance on this episode?
Sure. I think if you're lactose intolerant,
does that mean you can't eat grilled cheese? You probably just don't listen to the whole show.
If I was lactose intolerant, I would suffer through the pain just for the grilled cheese.
I'm going to do a Google search for lactose intolerant grilled cheese.
You could probably use like soy cheese or something, right?
Oh, but that's not cheese. Oh, there is a dairy-free grilled cheese recipe, but that really... Or if you're a vegetarian, you wouldn't be able to eat a grilled cheese either.
Yeah, you can. If you're vegan, you can't. But if you're vegetarian, you can.
Yeah, because you don't have to kill the cow to make the cheese. You just milk them.
Nope. All my vegetarian friends, that's all they ever order whenever we go anywhere.
Grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, so there are reasons to become a vegetarian.
Well, there are reasons to open up a Cheds. That's for sure. Because people, it'd be like crazy busy here in San Francisco, where everybody's a vegetarian for some reason.
I would think that in a way, I mean, lactose intolerant means you have trouble digesting milk. I would think that the cheese would kind of like be already
digested.
Yeah. Like, it's like kind of like pre-digested, isn't it? So that wouldn't be so bad.
I don't know. That's a question I'll have to bring up at the grilled cheese invitational, which I did just find out that hellonormal.com.
Yeah.
HelloNormal.com. It's this woman who lives in Oakland, and she actually has the official grilled cheese blog.
There's an official grilled. There is. It says so right here. And the internet never lies.
No.
I mean, if she's got it on her blog, it must be the. She's got. It's called the Hunt for the Perfect Grilled Cheese. She's sandwich. She's. I mean, she's very serious about this.
You know, and on her blog, and this is I've come across many times in my. Research. A lot of people say you really need to grate the cheese before you make a grilled cheese sandwich because then it melts more evenly. But, you know, that's just too much effort for me, unless you already have the pre-grated cheese. But I'm a slicer.
Oh, yeah. I think grating is not necessary.
Grating is
for people who don't really have sufficient faith in the ability of the cheese to melt. But I'm a believer.
I have found that sometimes I'll just, because I use my big cast iron skillet, I'll just put a big pot lid on top. Just for a little bit, just to make sure that the heat's going back in. Melt the cheese.
Yeah. Well, that's, again, you don't have the faith. You just need to trust it. Because I think that that's
trust
really...
Trust the cheese.
I think that opening it up and looking is really going to degrade the sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You never open up. Although, you know, one person who Twittered me said that they always put dill pickles in their grilled cheese sandwich, pickle slices.
See, that could complicate the matters, yeah.
Because I wouldn't put it in before the sandwich hits the pan. That would be like a later addition, don't you think? And then you would have to open it up and stick it in.
I think if they're properly drained, you could put it in at the beginning.
Oh, I just remembered Mario's Bohemian Cigar Store.
Oh, I was there yesterday.
Ugh, the best sandwiches ever. They're sort of the Italian variation on grilled cheese.
They're focaccia bread.
Mm-hmm. And then they roast it on the big, you know.
They have a thing.
Sandwich heater upper.
It's like a Italian grilled cheese maker is what it really is.
Yeah, and they put pepperoncini on it. And that pepperoncini so good. Their tuna melt is to die for.
Now, I just always have the eggplant sandwich because it's basically eggplant parmigiana inside focaccia bread, then toasted to perfection. That is a great sandwich.
Oh, that was yesterday was a great day for that, too, because, you know, the rain and everything.
Well, it was Valentine's. We did Valentine's a day early, went to the Washington Square Inn, which is across the street from Mario's. We stayed there. It was wonderful, wonderful event.
You never call.
I should have called you. I should have called you because then for dinner, we went to a new restaurant, which, you know, used to be Moose's used to be there.
And
That was Ed Moose, who owned the Washington Square. Washington Square Bar and Grill. Then he opened Moose's, which was unique in that it had a giant purple neon moose on its sign.
Tribute to Bullwinkle.
And then now it's Joey and Eddie's. And have you been to Joey and Eddie's? I think you would like Joey and Eddie's. Joey and Eddie's is beautiful. It's got an open cooking area, like the Joe's style place, you know, where you see the cooks and the grill and the beautiful kind of steakhouse ambience with a dark wood. But it's family style Italian, massive, giant, and wonderful. Best spaghetti and meatballs I've had in years.
Oh boy,
Joey and Eddie's.
That sounds good.
Because
I have gone usually around the corner to DiMaggio's.
Now, how's that? Because I saw DiMaggio's there. That's where the old North Beach restaurant used to be.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
We almost went there.
It's very, very old school. You feel like Dean Martin when you walk in there, and you can't help but order a martini. Like even if you hate gin, you will order a martini just because that's how you turn into Dean Martin.
We're gonna have to go there. Although, let me tell you, on Wednesday, February 18th, they're having Dean Martin night at Joey and Eddie's.
Oh, really?
And a guy who looks remarkably like Dean Martin will be there.
What's his name?
I don't know. Is there a famous Dean Martin impersonator?
Well, there's a guy.
Must be him. How many could there be?
Yeah.
On the moon, hit your eye. So, no, you should go February 18th, Wednesday.
I'll put a circle around that date.
They also have a Sinatra night. They do the same thing with a guy who looks like Sinatra.
Ah. You know,
that's a nice neighborhood, isn't it? I love that neighborhood.
I do, too. It's good. It is very good.
It's the Italian section of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
North Beach, but they don't have grilled cheese. Is there now? This is interesting. Are there other cultures that do a grilled cheese sandwich, or is it a uniquely American dish?
Let's find out. I mean, isn't like the Coke? In France, don't they make some sort of grilled cheese? Isn't like a croque monsieur?
Oh, you're right. They might have invented it, the croque monsieur and the croque madame. Now. The croque monsieur, I think, has
it's a ham and cheese
ham
one.
In it. Yeah, so it's it's not a pure grilled cheese, but it is. The bread is toasted. It's grilled on a panini style grill. Mm-hmm. It's pressed. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think the croque madame may only have cheese in it. Wait, let me look up here. Yeah, the croque monsieur is ham and cheese, sometimes served with a fried or poached egg, and then it is known as a croque madame.
Oh, I see. You get the egg on the
egg makes it the madame.
So that makes it like a French loco
but
moco.
Now, the problem with the croque monsieur is it looks as if the cheese is on the outside, which really is a different thing entirely.
Why is that a problem?
It must be difficult to cook.
The
croque provençal has tomato. The croque auvergnat.
Well, then can we just say that all the croques are grilled cheese, kind of? Like they involve grilled cheese, croque?
Croque means, you know, grilled cheese, typically an Emmental. It originated in France as a fast food snack served in cafes and bars. More elaborate versions come coated in a Mornay or bechamel sauce. The emergence of the croque monsieur and variations is mirrored by growth in popular fast foods in other countries. See, in French, the verb... croquet means to crunch. So the croque monsieur is a Mr. Crunch sandwich.
Well, then how do they get that to the thing where you hit the little wooden balls around with a mallet?
That's a different kind of croquet. That's crack.
Oh, I learned so much on this show.
So I'm thinking if I opened a Mr. Crunch store in town that served grilled cheese sandwiches, I'd be there.
I think so. And if you croaked, you know, you had the croak stuff involved, then all those fancy pants gourmets up there in, you know, highfalutin Sonoma County would be all over you.
I think they'd love it. Now, important, the first croque monsieur was served in 1910. And the earliest published use has been traced back to volume 2 of Proust's À la recherche du temps perdu, or Memories of Time Past.
Well, that kind of makes sense then. If it didn't make it to the United States till the 20s, I mean, I can see I'm following the lifespan of the grilled cheese sandwich.
I think it started in France.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have your croque monsieur with a tomato soup side dish, well,
How do you come down on the Monte Cristo? Is that considered a grilled cheese?
Oh, I love the Monte Cristo.
Okay, that's all we need to know.
Oh,
that
my
might deserve
God.
A show of its own.
Yeah. This was supposed to be specifically grilled cheese.
I know we're show. Kind of. I should probably
and I know we sort of ventured afield. Into the you know other areas.
But
and
the Monte
then
Cristo
the
is basically a battered and deep fried grilled cheese, so it's not so far off.
I am so going to get a Monte Cristo the next time I go to Max's.
You know where the best Monte Cristo is? I think
in Monte Carlo.
No, Pirates of the Caribbean, the New Orleans
right.
Square. Right, that restaurant there, the New Orleans Square.
Bayou Cafe, what's it called?
Yeah, the Bayou Cafe, something like that, yeah.
There's always a line there.
I know, we'll go on a rainy day, and anyway, a Monte Cristo's perfect for a rainy day.
Ooh, you know, I think I'm going to go fry one up right now. That sounds divine. Monte Cristo. Before we wrap this up.
Yes.
So many people have sent me this website. I just want everyone to know I have it, and I found out about it actually from PerezHilton.com. But you have to go to it right now. It's called thisiswhyyourefat.com.
Yes, thank you very much.
and every day I check it, and every day there's something more horrendous and proving me. And today,
lost some weight. Maybe it was because of thisiswhyyourefat.com.
No, he was he's getting a TV show, so he had to slim down. But
right.
But this today it says bacon cheeseburger with chocolate covered bacon.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
Gravy covered pizza.
Oh, this is why I'm fat.
Deep fried s'more on a stick.
Oh.
Let's see. Carney casserole, ground beef pierogies, french fries topped with green onions, avocado, bacon and eggs, and smothered in cheese topped with gravy.
So this is just pictures of fattening food.
Yeah. Sloppy Joe and a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, baby.
I got.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you ever, this is a great appetite suppressant, I kind of think. Although some of these sound good to me, looking at these pictures one after another makes me kind of nauseous.
Wow.
The corn dog pizza. Remarkable.
Corn dog pizza.
And then further down, they have a French fry encased hot dog on a stick. So somehow they glued French fries to the outside of a corn dog and fried it.
I'm glad that there's one place in this world where these memorable food experiments are recorded and logged for posterity.
That's right. Someday they'll have a cookbook, and someday maybe they'll be on Munchcast.
You know, I think you should probably get them on. You know, that's really.
I don't know. I've been having trouble getting people to return my calls, but whatever.
You know, they're worried about the treatment that they might receive on Munchcast.
I think we're nice.
Oh no, I think the word has gone out that we in fact are dismissive and mean.
Really?
No, I'm just.
I don't
kidding.
Think that
we're actually
Susan
quite nice.
Fussell was on.
No,
she nice.
Enjoyed herself. And by the way,
to her,
the Franz chocolates went over very well for Valentine's.
I'm sure they
but
did.
But I do want to point out, a $48 box is about as big as you know. It's little. It's like as big as my head or smaller.
Somebody brought my boss some of those chocolates, the Franz chocolates, and I like the box that she got. It looked like it was a Tiffany watch, only it was red. It was a red box, but it was watch shaped, and inside were six. So I have no idea how much of that.
Franz is very expensive. Let's put it that way.
Well, they have to harvest that sea salt from Wales.
Well, it went over very well. Jennifer was quite thrilled.
Especially, good.
She likes salt and chocolates, and they were very good. They were the finest caramels I've ever had.
Yeah,
yeah,
they are something special.
Really tasty.
The official caramels of the White House.
This is why I'm fat.
I can't afford to get fat on those, though.
All right, I'm going to go make a grilled cheese sandwich. You too?
Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you next time on Munchcast. Thanks, Leo.